I told Dan that I only had about 20 minutes worth of material, and that'd be at the most, so I think everyone's going to get home nice and early tonight. Greg always tells me to keep it short and sweet, and also to go along with that, I heard a speaker once say that we only remember about 2% of what we hear, and he must have not said very much, because that's all I can remember. I don't remember who said it. I don't remember what anything else about his message, but I remember that. So I'm just going to keep my thoughts short and simple and to the point, and that way I won't get lost. Last time I spoke, I ended my message with a question, and it was, if Christ is not dominating my thoughts, what am I then reflecting? And then, so this time, I turned the question around a little bit, and if Christ is dominating my thoughts, what then should I be reflecting? And I came up with God's love. That should be what we are reflecting. And we'll just look at three different things tonight, and it's number one, how can we reflect God's love to others? Number two, how does God see and love others? And then number three, how have we seen God's love? And maybe we'll just open up in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're just so thankful for everything you've given us, and we're just blessed beyond measure just with the sacrifice that you gave us when you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. And we know that we often come up short from your instructions and your word, and it's just such a perfect standards, and we're just so thankful that Jesus Christ has justified all our shortcomings. And we just pray as we go about our lives that we'll just really be reflecting you to all those around us, and just that we'll be a light to those who are not saved, and just an encouragement to those that are saved. And we just pray that you'll help us each and every day just to be in your word, and just be continuing our just journey with you. In your holy and precious name, amen. And so first, for how can we reflect God's love to others, we're going to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And so just for some context on this chapter, Paul is writing it, and the heading in my Bible is the greatest gift. The chapter before it and the chapter after it both speak about spiritual gifts that the body has. And this is one spiritual gift that we're all supposed to have, and it's what Paul and Jesus both would refer to as the greatest gift. So we'll just read the first seven verses in chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I've become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understanding of all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. And then just the first part of verse 8 says, love never fails. And it's mind-blowing in a sense, just what Paul's saying. If we can do all these great things, but if we're not showing love, it really amounts to nothing. And love is truly just the greatest gift that we have, that we can share. And I just think of, as I was growing up, there's been so many people come in and out the assembly that maybe I just didn't show the type of Christian love that I could have to them. There's people that came to youth group with me that no longer attend here, or just as I got older, you could see people just come and go. And partially, it might have been because they may not have felt like they fit in. And that was just something that I always struggled with growing up, and still now, I just struggle to just make that connection with people. I struggle to meet new people and make new friends and just show them the love of God. But I just encourage everyone, just as Billy Mooney was saying about the hospitality of Aquila and Priscilla, just that we're using that spiritual gift And even if it's not our strong suit, we're all called to love one another. And not only should we be applying this to people that are saved or people that come in through our doors, but we're also supposed to apply this to our neighbors. And it's, as I look through this list of things, and maybe I'll just read through what love is and isn't one more time, just from verse 4 down. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. I found myself, as I read through that list over and over again, just way easier to identify with the does not parts, and that's where I could see where my love was failing. It wasn't, oh, Thomas's love is long-suffering. It was, oh, Thomas's love maybe seeks his own. And that's just easier for, it's just easier for me to be selfish. It's easier for me to just seek to love myself instead of to love others. An example of that, we took a first aid course down in Summerside, and John was there, and some of the guys from M&D Construction were there, and over, the instructor would tell us, if you're in a situation that could in any way cause you bodily harm or risk to yourself, stay away from that situation. You're not supposed to put your life on the line for this person that's already hurt. And that's just how the world thinks. And it's just so sad that people just aren't willing to sacrifice for each other. And sidebar on that, if you are thinking about working for JDC, I think I would recommend going to M&D Construction, because John will not be able to help you if you get hurt. And then another part of the does not rejoice in iniquity. And I just had another part of that in downfall. And again, looking at work, it's kind of a standing rule at work. If someone falls over or hurts themselves, you laugh first and then ask questions later, because if you find out they're really hurt, you can't laugh at them. So, but that's just, again, just how my mentality is, or how sometimes maybe many of our mentality is, where we're more willing to laugh at someone than we are just to help them get up. And same, there's videos on the internet just everywhere of people. They're called fail videos, of people failing, and we seem to get enjoyment in other people failing. And another way to look at it is whenever someone might be rubbing you the wrong way and then something bad happens to them and you're like, oh, they got what they deserved. And I've definitely been guilty of thinking that way. And just praise to God that he has a more perfect love than we do. And for next, for how does God see and love us, we'll turn to Ezekiel chapter 16. And one of the beautiful things about the Bible is that as we read it, it affects each and every person differently. And I'm not sure why, but God used this chapter just a lot in my life. He just really struck it home to me. Just the first, mostly the first 14 verses of this chapter, just he just really hit me with them. And just encouragement to all the people that we've been encouraging everyone at youth group just to read the Bible through with a purpose and with a plan, and just make sure you don't skip over sections, because you never know what section God's going to use to really impact your life. And I'll just read the first 5 verses to start. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know her abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Your father was an Amorite, and your mother a Hittite. As for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were your were you washed in water to cleanse you, nor were you rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No, I pitied you to do any of these things, to have compassion on you, but you were thrown out into an open field when you yourself were loathed on the day you were born. And I think that there are a lot of people in the world that could see themselves as having no value or no worth, and there might be even some people here. And that's just kind of how the world can portray it. The world is cold, and it doesn't really care about others, and we're just so thankful having the Christian fellowship we have with each other that we know there's just true, genuine care for each other. But there's a lot of people out in the world that just feel this way, that no one has compassion on them and no one really cares about them. They're thrown into just this open field, just laying in their own misery, and they just feel abandoned. And the world, mostly the media, is constantly telling these people that you're supposed to get your entertainment and your joy and your value from all the things that you have, or all the places you go, or the experiences that you partake in, and so on and so forth. But we know that the only way to have true joy comes from God. And just about what a person's value is, I think I was watching American Pickers. I can't remember which history channel show it was, but American Pickers, they go around to all these old barns, and they find these old things that might not have much value to someone, and they buy them and sell them. And if they find something really unique that they need to call in a specialist for, they always let whoever they're buying the object off hear the conversation. So they get it appraised, and if it's a unique motorcycle or something, they call up their guy, and he might say it's worth $10,000 to the right person. And that's kind of the key, to the right person. And so then that's when the negotiations start, and the pickers are trying to get it for, you know, $6,000 or $7,000, so they can make some money off it. And but whenever we look at a person's value, we have to look at what someone is willing to pay for it. And we know that God paid all of that for us on the cross at Calvary, that whenever he sent his son Jesus Christ, he paid everything. And so that's how we start to see God's love. And if we just read verses 6 through 9 and then verse 14, this is Ezekiel chapter 16, in case I didn't say that to start. And when I passed by you, this is the Lord speaking, and when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your own blood, I said to you in your blood, live. Yes, I said to your blood, live. And I made you thrive like a plant in the field. And you grew, matured, and became very beautiful. Your breasts were formed, your hair grew, you were naked and bare. And when I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wings over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you, and you became mine, says the Lord God. Then I washed you in water. Yes, I washed off your blood, and I anointed you with oil. I clothed you in the embroidered cloth and gave you sandals of badger skin. And we'll skip down to verse 14. Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I had bestowed upon you, says the Lord God. And so this is how we see God's love. He saw us, again, just wallowing in sin and misery, just covered with blood. And we get the beauty of seeing this after Christ was born in Jerusalem. They would not have seen the perfect example they had of Jesus' blood. They would have had still human sacrifices and oils, or human sacrifices, animal sacrifices and oil. But we had that human sacrifice in Jesus Christ that washed off our blood with his blood. And that's what we've been anointed with. And that is what makes us perfect. That's what gives us the splendor. The splendor was his blood, and he bestowed it upon us. And we'll just look over to Romans chapter 5 now, just more on how we can see God's love and how he demonstrates God's love. Romans 5, verses 6 to 11. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we are still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. And so part of the moral to this story is it's easier to say you love someone than to demonstrate you love someone. It's easier for me to say I love my wife than to, whenever I get home from a day of work, go and do the dishes. It's easier for me to just go sit on the couch or something. And you can look at that in any relationship. It's easier to just say I love you than go through the actual physical work of proving that you love someone. And this is what God did for us. He didn't just say he loved us, but he proved it. And I was just thinking about in verse 7, it says, scarcely for a righteous man will someone die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. And there wouldn't be very many people that I would lay my life down for selfishly. That's me being selfish. But we know that God, no matter who the person is out in the world, no matter what they did, no matter the crimes they committed against him, against his laws, that he still sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die. And he showed us exactly how much he loved us when he outpoured his wrath on Jesus Christ on the cross. And that was our justification. And I just, skipping over to verse 10, was thinking about how when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. So when we were far off, God still had this plan in place, and I was thinking it would be like if I went to war against ISIS, and I captured this ISIS soldier, and on my way back through the trenches, another Canadian saw him and didn't realize I was with him, so he raised his gun to shoot him. And instead of me just standing there and letting him shoot that enemy with the gun, I would actually dive in front of the ISIS man and take that bullet. That would be an incredible display of love, and that is the display of love that Jesus Christ gave us, because we were just so far away from him. And we're just so thankful for the reconciliation we received, and that is what we're supposed to praise God for, and also what we're supposed to share. And I know it's still early, but I said I wouldn't be long, so I'm just going to have an illustration, and I asked John to close for me in prayer if I get too choked up, because it hit me pretty hard. A couple months ago, I read a book by Francis Chan called Crazy Love, and there's an illustration in it, and I'm not trying to put a fancy spin on how we should view God's love, and I more see God's love as you could see Canada's beauty. You can say Canada's beautiful, and then you could go to Newfoundland and see the sights there, or come here and see our beaches, and go to BC and see the mountains, and there's just so many different aspects in Canada that you can say are beautiful. Or the same with a diamond, depending on how you spin it in the light, you'll just see a different little sparkle. And that's how we see God's love. It's just so endless, and it has so many different ways to marvel at it. And this was just an illustration that really hit me pretty hard, and it's just about the love of the Father. And probably a month ago, I just mentioned how Zoe had called me Thomas, and just how that was so strange hearing that, and just how Zoe is the only person in the world right now who has the right to call me Daddy. And just in saying that, Francis Chan, and I'd encourage all of you to do this as well, because it really just deepened my understanding for the Father's love. He went through, and I did this as well, just through the crucifixion, and instead of having Jesus, having his Son. And whenever I think of Zoe, I could not do that. Whenever I think of the Eli lama sabachthani, I could not abandon her. But God was able to abandon his Son for me.
times as you died, but you were pleased and you rose again. And we serve a living Savior. And so, Father, we trust that each one here who has not come to that understanding would just think about the love the Lord Jesus Christ has for them. And Father, that He paid for all their sins and they can be free from their sins and have a relationship restored.